Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 through 40. Verse 30 says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Now, we're not going to be able to expound upon all those verses today, but we're going to talk some about those. What I want to do is focus more in on faith. We talked last week about a question: can there be degrees of faith? We're going to deal with that essentially today. But we see all of these examples. We have examples of faith. The majority of the examples were those of the family of Israel. Well, we have a few: Noah and Enoch and Abel, and Abraham and Isaac are not of Israel, but they certainly were examples God wanted to use with regard to faith. But through faith, they did a lot of things. And the interesting part to me, if you look at verse 33, there are all these victories through faith. But then when you come to verse 35, about the middle of it, others were tortured. Others were cut in half. They were mocked. They were scourged, stoned. That doesn't mean they were smoking something. Stoned. But faith does not always equal temporal victory, is the point. And again, many times we think you have an obstacle or problems where you don't have enough faith. That's what I want to deal with: enough faith. What does that mean? What does that mean? What is faith? We've talked about it many times, but I want to try to bring that as clear as possible. What is faith today? How did faith operate in all these people? We've got the walls of Jericho in verse 30. By faith, what did they do? They obeyed God. They heard what God said, and they believed it. Now, set that against what the Exodus generation did. They go up to Kadesh Barnea. What do they do? Can't do it. God says, yeah, you can do it. Go in, do it. Possess the land. Can't do it. They didn't believe. Then we think about this generation that Joshua led in. They believed the Lord. And they obeyed him at Jericho. And they saw the walls fall. By faith, they believed. Rahab is the same thing. I do want to read about Rahab for a moment. I want us to read. Interesting that this harlot, make no mistake, that's what she was, made it into the great faith chapter. She's got as much, if you look at the sentence, she's got more than Isaac. Let's turn back to Joshua, I believe it is. Joshua chapter 2. I want you to understand something. Joshua chapter 2.
If I'm laughing, it's because I just read this story to my son last night.
All right.
Look at Rahab. Why does she have so much makeup on?
Joshua 2, verse 8. "And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know." I think that's a key. I know. Or I believe. If you believe something, you know it. "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you.
For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did to two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Here's a believer. Verse 12. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. So Rahab had the knowledge, and she believed. Unlike the others. The others were scared, but they didn't believe. The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above. The others in that city did not necessarily believe that. And God used Israel as a way of judging that city. By faith, the walls came down, and the iniquity of that city was judged by God. And he used that nation for that purpose. When we think about what it is we know about Rahab, she had a good bit of knowledge, she had evidence, and God convinced her of who he was. So, thinking about that, as we go back to the New Testament, and we think about all these other heroes of the faith, I want us to define faith. And when I say faith, sometimes we'll use the word believe, not necessarily the way the Bible uses the word believe. Faith, in your notes here under verses 32 through 40, biblical faith, the way the Bible uses it, is a confident belief in the truth, value, or trustworthiness of a person, idea, or thing. We say the synonyms are reliance, trust, conviction, and we say those who have faith are convinced, they are confident, and they are sure. They are persuaded of the truth. For example, I want you to look at Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 and verse 1 of chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews? And Paul, after his manner, went into them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. What does Christ mean?
Messiah.
And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took upon them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of the honorable women, which were Greeks, and of them not a few. We have an example here of believing. Some believed, some didn't. Some were persuaded, some were not. Paul's reasoning with them out of the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit of God, through the Apostle Paul and the Word of God, persuades those of the truth of the Scriptures. Now, let's turn back a little bit and see Jesus in action in John chapter 11. And he's talking with Martha. Before we turn to John 11, go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 30. John summarizes his purpose for this book. He is unique in his gospel. John 20, 30 says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." John's purpose for writing was that they might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, hence the promised one, the deliverer, that's spoken of in Genesis 3:15 and just through the Old Testament. We spoke of that last week. That's his purpose. Now go back to John 11 and verse 19. The story is the story of Lazarus. "And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." That's what she believed. If you'd have been here, he would not have died. You'd have healed him. "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Now, she knows this. She believes it. She's a believer in that. Now, Jesus is going to clarify something to her. Jesus said unto her in verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Verse 26, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Now look at his question. Let's read that together. "Believest thou this?" Look at verse 26. "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, shall have everlasting life." I mean, he said it many times before. "Do you believe this, Martha?" What does she say? "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ," or the Messiah, "the Son of God, which should come into the world." "Yes, I believe that. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You have that power." Is there any question that Martha was convinced of that truth? That's what Jesus asked me. "Martha, do you believe this? Is this true? Are you confident in this?" He didn't ask, "What's your opinion of this? What do you think of this verse? What are the three ways you can interpret what I'm saying?" He didn't ask any of that. He said, "Do you believe this?" It's a yes or no answer. Right? What are you laughing at?
Martha was a three-year-old, so he didn't have to say, "Just say yes or no, and nothing else."
Yeah, he's not a three-year-old.
Yes, ma'am.
Back up to verse 20. Why do you suppose they included, "But Mary sat still in the house"? Still emphasized.
Still is actually, it's not emphasized. It's an added word.
It's
in italics. In your, especially in your King James, if it's in italics, it is something added by the translators to try to clarify the meaning. You could say, "Mary sat in the house." He's just saying Mary stayed in the house. She didn't come out to meet Jesus like Martha did. Sitting still is just hopefully a clarification word.
So are you saying that every italicized word in this Bible has been added?
It's not in the original language.
It's just that you can't go from one language to the other without sometimes adding a word of clarification. So you can take those out. Sometimes it still makes sense, but Mary sat in the house. So here's Martha. My point is, Jesus asked her point blank, "Do you believe?" She says, "Yes." I regret that Luba and Brother Mark are not here because they were asking some questions about this last week. She was, and I told her we would deal with it. But I guess that's why we recorded it. It's on the internet. You can listen if you want. But let's think about this Are there degrees of faith? Can you believe something halfway? Can you be 75% convinced or confident? Does 70?
Yes, I can. I'm a meteorologist by trade, and I say that there's a 75% chance of rain today.
Okay. Aside from do you believe it's going to rain today?
And there's 50%.
That's why I don't believe in meteorologists.
So, my point is, no, you can't say, well, you know, I'm 50% confident. No, you can't say it. You're just mixing up the term. Confident doesn't allow for the possibility of something else. Confident means confident. Sure means sure. To believe something means to believe something.
And you highlight something here, but I was even looking for a faith verse, and well, the concordance in your back of the Bible mentions faith just a couple times.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you just kind of go through, I was just looking for one that Jesus said, and he says, you know, you have little faith, Jesus said, and you have great faith. So it's understandable that people get that because you're either little faith or great faith, or maybe it's the size of a mustard seed versus, you know.
Yeah, we're going.
Yeah. It's easy to see how people.
Oh, yeah.
But isn't part of that directed not so much at what someone believes, but the walk they take because of it? I think a lot of what Jesus was referring is he's talking about people who they know something. But they're not living based on what they know.
Well, I mean,
in an Old Testament perspective, I mean, you know, they had the Torah, they had the prophets, they had, you know, those scriptures, they had the oral law, they had the tradition, they had the example. They weren't following it. And we could say the same thing about Christians now. I think, you know, that they say they believe, but you don't have one person. I think that the examples we have in here is a huge difference between those who commit their life based on that faith and those who don't.
Yeah. So to clarify a little bit, it's not that they don't believe more, it's that they believe it. But how much of their life do they apply to that belief?
Yeah.
There's not a level of belief, but there's a level of how much you live by that belief.
Yeah. Well, let's,
How can you believe and not live your life by
that? I do it every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Hey, I believe prayer. I believe in prayer. I can sit here and expound to you great truths about prayer. Am I travailing in prayer as I should, to the extent I believe it? No. No, I don't. I confess that to you. I want that more. You can believe. There's a lot of things we believe we don't act on. Some better than others. That's why we're studying. Faith and obedience are two different things. To believe something and then to obey. Everyone in here believes things and they've done just the opposite. They've done just the opposite. I know what's going to happen. I believe this and then I go and do it. Do the opposite.
Now, the examples in Hebrews 11 are faith in action. In other words, they did have things of faith that they won victories, or they had faith and they were... And they hung on to their faith because of the way they acted and they suffered for it. But I mean, that was...
So here's what I want us to do. This will be a great help to you, and we're getting some clarification. But let's look at a few of these verses, because there's many. Let's look at Mark chapter 9. The key is to remember, what is faith? If you understand the definition of faith, then you can begin to expound properly, to interpret properly what's being said. If you import another meaning, faith means something else, or belief means something else, then you mix everything up and you're going to have the wrong interpretation. But look at Mark chapter 9 and verse 20. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the Spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And of oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Now look, here's what the father says. But what's that next word?
Yeah.
If you can do anything. Does it sound like he believes? If you can. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can. Look what Jesus says. And Jesus said unto him, he turns it right back around and says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. What's the requirement? Believe. The guy didn't believe. He said, yeah, he had a notion. Jesus has been healing all these other people. Well, Jesus, if you can help us, please do. Well, Jesus says, you got to believe first. You have a comment?
It's the same thing as the cross.
Yeah. Look what this guy says. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. So some would say, we got degrees of belief here, but you can't say, I believe, but I don't believe. And that's not what the verse is saying. What he's saying is, I believe, Lord. My belief is fragile. I've got all these circumstances that I'm dealing with. I'm fragile. Help me gain more confidence so that I might believe more about you. I believe that you can heal my son. Help what I don't believe. Fragile faith. Can you think of another example of someone that their faith was fragile? They believed, then they weren't believing?
Peter.
Uh-huh. Walking on the water?
John has some questions about his faith.
Think so? John the Baptist?
John the Baptist.
Yes. You know, John the Baptist proclaiming, this is the Messiah, the Lamb of God. And then he sends a delegation to say, are you the Messiah?
Guess he's funny.
Here's some ID. Okay. So don't interpret this as some, okay, there's a 50% level that I believe, and then there's 50% I don't believe with regard to healing his son. The issue is, do you believe I can heal your son? The man says, yes, I believe that. So what does Jesus do? He heals him.
There's another element too, because I think a lot of people, and sometimes we miss this in the Bible, is using Jesus as an example, John the Baptist too. Someone comes, and if they're fulfilling your expectations, you believe. But when they're not fulfilling your expectations of what you think they should be doing, which is basically Israel's response to Jesus, is he came as Messiah, but he didn't come as exactly the Messiah they were expecting. Some believe, but a lot of them didn't believe because wasn't because the Messiah wasn't time to come. Most of them knew that the time for the Messiah had come. He was supposed to come. Daniel's prophecy clearly predicted it. He just didn't meet their full expectations, and that was a barrier to their belief.
Yeah. We have those same barriers today. We believe Jesus for a lot of things, and then something goes wrong, gas goes to $4 a gallon. Well, what's going on here? I thought I'm supposed to live blessed, and you know, I'm not supposed to be begging bread, begging for gas. It all boils down to understanding what the Word has to say, believing it, and acting upon it. Let's go to another one, Luke 17. Luke 17, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but the defenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast in the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Think about that just a minute. Just some of the context of what Jesus is telling them. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Verse 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive it. That's pretty revolutionary teaching, isn't it? How does that go with you? 7 times in a day? Now, if you have little children, you probably have to deal with that.
And he tells Peter not 7 to 7.
Yeah. His point is, it's limitless forgiveness. As I've forgiven you, so forgive you, your brother. Now look what they say. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. increase our faith. So, there's this revolutionary teaching. They're asking him, teach us more so we might believe this. Is this what we're supposed to do? That was not their belief system. Teach me more. Increase my faith. Help me to believe more. Not degrees, not believe more about this one issue, but help me to believe more about your teaching. Help me to believe more about this idea of forgiveness. Or I'm not really convinced. There's increasing faith. And some of this will, as we go through a few more, all of them will really begin to meld together and you'll see it. Yes, sir.
We're having a discussion of faith and the degrees of faith. Is it important to ask why faith is important? Why is faith important? And then I'm thinking of, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we want to please God, we've got to develop faith. I mean, that's why it's important. Or like Rahab, she had faith, but because what she'd seen and was fear too. I mean, it was fear of judgment.
Yeah.
So I would think faith has something to do with wanting to please God, avoiding the judgment of God, because if we don't have faith, and then he's going to reward us, whether it's here in the now or, in the time to come. So, I know what faith is, and there's, degrees, but what motivates me to have faith? Because without it, it's impossible to please God, for one, and then, that judgment to come.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting in this verse, though, they don't say, Jesus, tell us what we can do to increase our faith. They're saying, increase our faith.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing we can do to get the salvation. That all comes from Jesus. There's nothing that we can do to increase our faith. It has to come from God. We get our faith from God. It's a gift.
Yeah.
So, but we can act on it, which I believe is what he wants us to do. He wants us to act on it. And acting on it, if we act on it, we're opening ourselves for him to increase our faith. If we don't act on it, we may say we believe, and we may believe, but if we don't act on it, then we're erecting a barrier for increasing. We can't do it in ourselves. We don't have that power.
Two clarifications I would make. Number one, I'm saying there's not degrees of faith. No degrees of faith. You either believe or you don't. It's one or the other, 0 or 100. Also, faith is something anybody can exercise. Anyone. It's not a supernatural thing. God's word is supernatural. And from it, we can have faith. But we are able to exercise faith. We can believe. We're commanded to believe. God's word is the supernatural element. I like your idea about if we don't believe and obey, then we are erecting a barrier. We're not going to be able to go on. If we're in disobedience to God, our understanding, our ability to grow, and we're going to see that in just a moment with faith.
Because faith comes from God, that means if faith comes from God, it's God saying something, and then the faith is believing it. And that's where the pleasing God comes in.
Yes.
If God says, I want to do this for you, we have a choice to believe it or not. And if we don't believe it, then how much worse is it to have that lack of faith, to unbelieve it? Say, no, God, I'm not going to believe you for this. I'm going to do this. That's why us trying to work our way to heaven is so bad. Because when you don't believe in Jesus, you're trying to, I don't believe you sent your son to love me.
Would you say then, with your definition of faith, also could you add, faith needs to be exercised?
It should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To the believer, I mean, it should be, but we could say we could have faith without exercising, right?
Yeah, we can believe something, and exercising means being obedient. Okay,
but for the Christian.
Yeah, for the Christian, exercising the faith. I mean, that's James, Faith without works is dead. That word dead doesn't mean it never existed. It means it's unprofitable.
Right.
You're not doing something with it.
Right.
And it doesn't mean you are lost. I mean, James is not talking about being lost. That's the conventional thought, but that just makes no sense. I want us to look at these two others. Matthew 6:30. And so Jesus, he's talking about revolutionary teaching. The Sermon on the Mount is revolutionary teaching. It is the constitution of the king. Okay? And he says in chapter 6, verse 30 of Matthew, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith?" Now, again, you can see someone say, well, you know, they just had a little bit of faith. They just believed that 25%. Well, the definition of faith, it's impossible to do that. What he's saying is, this is something they didn't believe. They only believed just a little bit of things. They didn't believe all of these things God wants them to believe. Now, my favorite one is Matthew 8:5. Turn to Matthew 8. But this is the opposite, great faith. Matthew 8:5, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him." And I love this. "The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." That man had advanced belief. He knew the power of God Almighty. He knew he didn't have to come to him. Think about what Martha said. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't be dead. Maybe she had the faith that this man had. It would have been a different story. But this man said, you don't even have to come. I believe. All you got to do is speak it. That was what you'd call advanced faith. Something that would be difficult to believe. There are some things in the scriptures that are difficult to believe.
Well, they both believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and this Messiah sent, yeah, the Christ.
Yeah.
But one believed more of the implications than the other.
Yes.
The implications of him being the Son of God to,
yes,
the centurion was that you can do whatever you want, you don't have to be anywhere. Whereas,
yes,
Martha didn't understand the full implications of,
yes,
that, saying, oh, you didn't have to be here.
This is an example of our modern day of mining the scriptures and learning more to believe. Having great faith means there's a lot of things you believe. It's not simply, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I have eternal life. That's one object of faith, one thing you believe, and you are given everlasting life. All these other things, it's all about believing in many, they may sprout from that, but there are different things to believe. Now, one other example of great faith, I'm going to call it mature faith. Faith that is expansive, more than one just little thing can you think of in Hebrews 11? I think of Abraham. Imagine the night he had advanced faith. If I slain, God will raise him up. He believed that. I mean, he's here. He believed it. When you think about faith, again, I want to reiterate, there's not degrees of faith. Simply because of the definition of what faith is, what it means to believe. That's when we talk about, if I'm witnessing to someone, and I'm explaining to them that Jesus is the Christ, he's God's Son, God sent His Son in the world, that the world might be saved, and that you can have everlasting life today, if you believe. And they say, well, that sounds pretty good. I pretty much believe that. I'm pretty convinced. Well, does that sound like they believe it?
No.
Now, if the opposite is, just like Jesus, do you believe this? And they say, yes. There's no qualifier. There's no, well, I need to think about this. Or, you know, that's a good view. There's three different views on this verse. And I think that is a plausible view, and I'm not discounting it. That's not belief. So There are things in your Bible that you don't believe. Right? Number one, some of them you don't even know them to believe them. And some of them you're not sure. You look at a verse, what is it teaching? Okay, there could be different things that are plausible, but when it comes to these essential matters, either we believe that Jesus grants eternal life or that he doesn't. You know, again, do you believe this is the question with regard to that statement. And again, it's a clear cut yes or no. We didn't get to adding to our faith, which is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And I think we would further cement this truth and see how maturity doesn't mean that our, quote, belief goes from 25% to 50% to 75%. No, it's adding things on top of what we believe. It's acting upon our belief system. So we may deal with that some next week. Also next week, I want to deal with that idea of in Hebrews of a better resurrection. So be studying and thinking about that, reading Philippians chapter 3. It will tie right in with a better resurrection. Anybody got any closing comments or things they want to say?
Faith to move a mountain.
Faith to move a mountain. Has God told you that if you believe, you can move that mountain? Or is Jesus using a figure of speech? Something seemingly impossible can occur. If you believe, something seemingly impossible could occur.
I mean, I've experienced that a number of times.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
There's a whole other answer to that in terms of prophecy. Did it take too long to
Yeah. And then you go, there are things that we're not promised are going to happen today that may be able to happen in the millennium. There are just circumstances in which one might be able to move a mountain. All right.
So that's literal and figurative.
I think it's more figurative than it is literal. Now, there may be some examples somewhere else of it being literal that could tie in with that. But it's a figure of speech. Anybody else? All right.